Please don't forget to give. We are still going to need to invest lots there to support the work. And there are great things that lie ahead for us as a church. It's an inheritance that God has for us. And like every inheritance, there's a price to pay. There is a battle to fight. But you know something very important. When you decide you want to invest in something, you want to pay towards something. You actually start to care more for that thing. So like if you buy a cup to drink some tea, and that cup costs you 500 ari ari. Yeah, you just treat it pretty casually. You don't really care for it very well. But if you paid 50,000 ari ari for your cup, and then your brother takes it and starts smacking it around, bumps it. Drops it. You're worried about it. Why? It's just a cup like the other cup. But you paid a higher price for this one. And if it gets chipped or broken, you're like, you're angry and upset. Because it's a special cup, because it was valuable. Some of us treat the church like a cheap cup. We give nothing and we feel it's not special. But when you start to invest, you start to sow, you start to give, you're taking some treasure, your money, your finances, and you put it into something else. And that thing now becomes important to you. And the Bible puts it in a very simple verse. It says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So you could actually gain something very special. When you sow into the purposes of God. Because it means that the purposes of God will become more precious to you. And I actually have been praying for us as a church that the cost of the transition that we're going to go through, that will get shared, that we'll carry it together, but it will also pull us together. Because we'll have a common investment. That you will love the church more. You'll be more in love with what Jesus is doing. As you get into His vision and His plans for His people.
Plan.
So that's, I'm not going to take up a second offering. I'm just trying to explain to you something of how the kingdom of God dynamics work when it comes to giving. The more you give, when you give sacrificially, the result is God pulls you in, He gets your heart more. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. God gets your treasure, He gets your heart. Sometimes we think it works the other way around. God gets my heart, and now I give Him my treasure. But what if you don't feel like it? What if the feelings aren't there? Then you don't feel like really you want to give much. You're saying, God's got my heart, but actually it doesn't feel very sweet. And I don't feel like giving. So I don't. You know, human relationships work the same way. You think you will buy your wife flowers when you feel romantic about her. But what when the romance isn't there? That's exactly when you should buy her flowers. Because when you take the action of giving into the relationship when there's no feelings, guess what happens? As you're handing over those flowers, you suddenly feel romance coming alive inside of you. So some people are waiting to express their love when they feel love. I say swap it around. You will feel love when you express it. Feelings follow your actions. And so you give, and then God excites your heart about what you gave towards. You act towards your spouse, you do something romantic when you don't even feel romantic. And then the feelings come. And when some people get married and the feelings that they had disappear. Where did they go? We used to be in love. Now it feels cold. How do I wake it up again? Just take an action. Buy some flowers or say something kind. And the feelings come back. Isn't that amazing? So we are people who should be leading, not being led by our feelings. Leading by faith, by intentionality. Anyway, that's not my sermon. And I'm supposed to, I think there is children's ministry today, so the kids can go out if you go out to children's ministry. And then those who are staying can open your Bible to Nehemiah. Nehemiah is an amazing story. As I'm preaching through a series on leadership, I want to talk about Nehemiah today.
Nehemiah
This a great project took place under Nehemiah's leadership.
Să tite na mis projecte să permiți nea tânga toa mis italiană să na tonemi.
Nehemiah discovered that the state of Israel was bad. They were broken down.
Nehemiah na tiați zoe mituera na mis al Israel de te na raza te na putia.
And the people were scattered.
There
was no community. There was no security. There was no unity and joy and celebration. There was no shalom, there was no peace and fullness. And he looked at that and said, this isn't what God wants for his people. And he took action because he had a great vision of a restored community. In fact, Nehemiah is like a type, a picture of Jesus. Because Nehemiah went to go and bring restoration to Israel. And Jesus came to bring restoration to mankind, to gather us into his community, where he would build peace and security and joy and togetherness. And so Nehemiah displays this magnificent leadership. To rebuild Israel and bring them back to their former glory. He has a great vision. And his great vision leads to a great work. God has a great vision for you. It's similar to that. See, Jesus is building his church. And he wants to gather his people together into a wonderful community. And in such a wonderful community, there is love and peace and joy. And he's building it. And he's inviting you to come and be part of it. And the gospel is that invitation to come into the family of God, join the community of God. The ravages of sin have still left part of the wall broken down. So when you come into the kingdom of God, you become a Christian, Jesus is your Lord, you meet the heavenly Nehemiah, and he says to you, I'm on a big mission to build this covenant community where we love one another and there's joy and peace and safety. And it's relational. You experience that in terms of your relationships. So the earthly Nehemiah built an earthly city. And he led people into joining in that work. And the heavenly Nehemiah, Jesus, is building a spiritual community. And you are the living stones and the builders. And he's saying, come and use your life to help build up this community. And if you had that vision,
you
would understand it involves relational wholeness. And Nehemiah, the earthly Nehemiah, went to families and he said, build this section of the wall that's outside your house. And every family had a piece of the wall to build. They weren't building inspectors. People didn't appoint themselves just to walk up and down and check everything. And some of us in life, we've appointed ourselves like building inspectors. We just check out how everybody else is building. But our piece of the wall is broken down. And so you get called into the bigger vision of restored community. But you can't just check out everybody else and criticize them. You have to say, what am I doing with my life? Your marriage is bad. People get hurt. You do first. And your children get hurt. And eventually the family is having a big discussion. And then you worry about what the people in the church think. And you start hiding the problems. And you realize that this life you're living does have an impact on the people around you. Because it's part of the wall that builds the security for the community. And the young man here, or the young woman, who goes off and lives a reckless life, there they are as a door or a window through the wall where the devil can climb in. See, your sin and the damage that it causes is not building a community of love, joy, and peace. So as much as I'd like to say, don't make your problems my problems, it would be so nice for me to say, just keep your own junk. The reality is, when your life is messed up, other people's lives suffer too. And it's like a breach or a break in the wall. And so Nehemiah called each family to just build their section of the wall. And in the end, if we take that seriously, we say, I'm going to invest in building healthy relationships where I live. I'm going to build good community around me. That means we become friends with one another. I'm building with integrity with you, and you're building with integrity with me. What becomes of us together is a glorious community. So I need to take my wife out for a date. Because I want to have a good marriage. so that you can enjoy it.
So
that you can enjoy the fact that there is peace there. You can say, this isn't that different from the values of Madagascar. The goals are fairly similar. Malagasy people want peace, they want relational harmony. But you know what? Because in our humanness we don't do a very good job of building it. We haven't learned some key leadership lessons. So rather than invest in our own space here with integrity, we check out what other people are doing and gossip about them. When someone's doing really well, we pull them back down. Instead of praising and celebrating that they're doing well. And when we have problems, we don't bring them into the light or share them to deal with them, we hide them under the carpet. And we still act to break down community. Even while we say peace, peace to our families. So, Nehemiah, I want us to look at some of the values of the leadership he displays. Because we are all supposed to lead in our own lives. And even you ask, what is the thing I'm leading? It's your life that you are leading. So let's look at verse 1 and 2. You can read it quickly. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1 and 2.
Tantara Nemi, Sanaki Akali, Tamni Fulana Kisleu, Tamni Tona Farupul, Ratan and Dapa, and Susana, the Tunga, Anani, Anakrayam Niralagu, Bamlela Sasane of Tanzu, Ari Nantaniquas, Niamni Jusi, Epafa, Isai Sisa Tamni, Fababun, Ariam Jerusalem.
He asks concerning Jerusalem. His concern is bigger than for himself. That's a sign of leadership. You care about something beyond your own life.
Verse 3. Ante mitunja faulina be slat ari voruda nan mandan Jerusalem sadun turan nyafun favaden.
Jerusalem is broken down. The wall is broken. He gathers information from a reliable source. And he discovers a need. There's a need to fix the wall. Needs do not motivate change. Vision motivates change. That wall would stay like that for years. This world will stay like this for years. Your life will stay like that for years.
And
you look and you see the walls broken. We need better roads. We need better marriages. We need better whatever, hamburgers. Need doesn't motivate change. You sit and look at your life and you scratch your head and then you walk away from the need. Vision motivates change. You have to see where you want to be. And so the walls are broken down. Nehemiah 1 verse 4.
Verse 4
is his first action. He goes to where you go when you have big problems.
Where?
Not your boss. Not your pastor. Not your brother. Oh, help me, I'm in trouble.
No,
don't start running there when you've got a problem. Madagascar, you're running in circles. This guy borrows from this guy who borrows from this guy who borrows from this guy. Who borrowed from the first guy? So they're all in debt. He goes to God. And he weeps. He takes it seriously. If your life isn't where it should be, the journey to rebuilding and restoring is to go to God. And look how he goes there. Read from verse 5 to verse
11. Ka nanowe indiz Jehovah andriamanitra ny lanitra, andriamanitra lehibe sy mahatahotra, izay mitandrina fanekena sy famindrapo amin'izay ti azy sy mitandrina ny didiny, aoka hiaino ny sofinao ary hiratra ny masonao mba ho enoinao ny vavaky ny mpanomponao, izay ataoko eto anatrehanao ankehitriny andro aman'alina ho an'ny zanak'Israely mpanomponao sy izay anekeko ny fahotany zanak'Israely izay efa nanontanay taminao, fa izaho sy ny mpianakavindraiko dia samy efa nanota avokoa, efa nanao izay ratsy indrindra taminao izahay, ka tsy nitandrina ny didy na ny lalàna na ny fitsipy izay nandidinao an'ny Mosesy mpanomponao. Hotsarovanao ane ilay teny nandidinao an'ny Mosesy mpanomponao hoe, raha manao izay mahadiso ianareo dia ampiely ianareo any amin'ny firenena maro aho, nefa raha miverina amiko kosa ianareo ka mitandrina ny didiko sy mankato azy, na dia isy voaroaka hatrany aparavodilanitra azy ianareo, dia avy any no anangonako azy ka hoentiko ao amin'ny fitoerana izay novidiko amin'ny toerako ny anarako izy, ary ireo no mpanomponao sy olonao izay navota tao tamin'ny herinao lehibe sy ny tananao mahery. Ko mitaraina aminao ary Jehovah, miaino ny fivavaky ny mpanomponao sy ny fivavaky ny mpanomponao rehetra izay faly amin'ny fahatahorana ny anaranao, ary ambinina ne ny mpanomponao anio, ary aoka ahazo famindrapo eo amin'yeo imasony io lehilahy io a, fa mpitondra kapoky ny mpanjaka.
I'm not going to go further than that verse today in this sermon. I'm going to carry on looking at Nehemiah next week. Because these lessons are so important. If you can see what's happening here, and if you in your spirit, in your heart, if you submit to the word of God.
Cara wote nao, yo mpuna wao, mfanano wao, manake ntena ntema ntena.
God can do such great things.
Afrika manozaba, tena lebe, nisa ntema
ntema. What happened here is profound.
Msala tamtange, tena lala mits.
Nehemiah has a good job.
Nana asa tsar nemi.
He's cupbearer to the king.
Yes, tuta kapoga mpanzaka.
In other words, that's a very trusted position. You know, when you cupbearer to the king, you take the king his drink. You have the opportunity to poison him. Or if someone else is trying to poison him, you taste from that cup. And you die in place of the king. It's a very special position. Your life and the king's life depend on it. And so the king kept his cupbearer happy. He paid him well. And the cupbearer's job was simply to be in the presence of the king serving him. So Nehemiah says, if he could just say, hey, my life is cool. I've got a good job. The king will keep me well. He will keep me healthy and keep me well paid. Those guys, the rest of my Israel, they made that mess. They can keep it. But he doesn't respond like that. He goes before God. In verse 6 it says, night and before you, day and night, I pray. For the people of Israel. Confessing the sins of the people of Israel. Which we have sinned against you. Even I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted corruptly against you. He observes the state of Israel. And he takes personal responsibility for it. I want you to get that point this morning. If you face a situation and there are problems, things are not right. Maybe your marriage is struggling. So what some people do is what Adam did in the garden. It was the woman, Lord. She did. See, your marriage is going bad, so you blame your spouse. You're going to stay in the gutter that way. You're going to stay down. You'll be in a mess the whole time. I lent someone money. A week later, he comes back to me. Sorry, I can't pay it back because this other guy. He cheated me. Or, you know, it's not my fault. I'm sorry, you can't blame me. I was late, you know, I couldn't be at the meeting because, you know, the buses, the traffic. We're always making excuses and we're always blaming someone else. You want to know what leadership quality will take you forwards? Taking personal responsibility. Even if you're innocent. Nehemiah, he could easily have said, I've got a great position, let Israel go to hell. He says, God, we have sinned against you. Even I and my father's house. We have to be able to go before God with faith. See how he says, God, you are good. So show us your goodness. In verse 11 he says, give success to your servant today. Because he recognizes the spiritual dynamics of life. His observation was, God, you said you would scatter us and we are scattered. But God, you also said you would bless us if we come to you.
So
he has absolute faith because he's not saying, ah, oh, God's being mean to me. No, God is being faithful to his word. And God will be faithful to his word for you. God says, walk in my ways and I will walk with you and you will prosper. Go your own way, you're going to get hurt. And guess what we do? We go our own way, we get hurt. And then some of us say, no, God isn't being fair with us. Or we say, it was our wife's fault. Or it was that other guy who cheated me. And we take no responsibility. It starts here in your heart, you say, I am where I am because of me. And I come back to you, God, and I say, I've messed up. Forgive me. Now I want to go in the right way. Give me success. And just as much, Nehemiah has an expectation of God's blessing and he's right. And you can expect God to come alongside you to help you succeed. When you say, God, I want to build what glorifies you. I want to build a good, healthy community because Jesus, you are trying to build that community. I want a good marriage for the glory of God, not for my satisfaction. I want children that grow up to worship God so that He is worshipped. Not so I can say, look how proud we are, look how awesome my family is. You know why you get so ashamed when the kids don't turn out well? Because you put so much of your pride in there. That's not for the glory of God, that's for the glory of your reputation. But if you say, God, I'm not strong enough, I don't get it right, bless me and help me to get it right for your glory. Then God comes alongside you to help you. There are these kingdom dynamics that Nehemiah observed. He said, I'm taking responsibility. I'm admitting our failure and my failure. But I know if I aim at God's glory, God will come alongside me. And he goes forward and he makes a success. Because God gives him success. He acts, but God actually brings the victory. I want to close now. I want you to see that your life is a long-term project. But you can bring it into Jesus' long-term project. Just building a heavenly community. And then real leadership says, I'm responsible for my part of the wall. My life. And now God help me to get it right for you. Help me to build it to bring you glory. Take responsibility. And then start to have a vision for where you want things to be. It won't just fall upon you. You'll have to go out and build it. And we'll look in coming weeks at some of those other things you have to do. But the first thing is, take responsibility and say, where I am, I'm here because I got myself here. It's not fate and God doesn't hate you. In fact, everything is set up for your success when you turn to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the example of Nehemiah's heart. Where he had big vision, but he positioned himself to take responsibility. Help us to stop blaming other people for our problems. Help us too to have faith in you. That as we turn to you and call upon you, you'll help us to build a life that brings you glory. Give us a bigger vision for our own lives, one that honors you and one that's part of your vision. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.